As we come into the Lord's presence this morning, I want us to turn to the Word of God and to read Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This morning I want us to look at the blessed man that we find in verses 1 to 3. Then this evening I want us to look at the ungodly. So this morning we're looking at verses 1 to 3, and this evening we'll look at verses 4 to 6. So we'll read again those first three verses that we're going to meditate upon this morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. John Calvin said the book of the Psalms contains an anatomy of all parts of the soul. And truly the Psalms are one of the great parts of the Scripture, the part perhaps that most of us turn to most often. Because at any time and in any set of circumstances, when we turn to the Psalms, we find something for our souls. And it's appropriate that the book of Psalms should begin here with a psalm that promises a divine blessing, and also a psalm that sets forth quite clearly the two types of people that are in the world today. I know that there are many different things separate people. There are cultures and colors and experiences and jobs and everything else that separate people one from the other. But when we boil it down to, as God looks down upon the people here upon earth, there's two types of people. They're the godly and they're the ungodly. And so this is what this psalm does. It sets before us the two types of people. On one, it proclaims a blessing, and on the other, it proclaims a judgment. And I want to look this morning at the blessed man that we find in Psalm 1. The blessed man. What makes this man blessed? Now, we'll start off by looking at the word blessed. Some people think it simply means happy. And some translations actually starts that way, happy is the man. Well, that's true. The blessed man is a happy man. But happy depends so much on what happens, because that's where the word comes from. What's happening all around, that's what makes a person happy or unhappy. The word happy here, or blessed here. There's a wee translation where it's used in another place, and the translation of it could be rich in the benefits of God's grace. And that's what the word blessed means here. This man's a man who is rich in the benefits of God's grace. So it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I've heard it said on different occasions that being a Christian is not about what you do and what you don't do. And there's that type of teaching out there today. And it says, you know, it's not about what you do and what you don't do. It's all about what you believe. And of course, in all these little sound bites, there's always an element of truth, but there's a great element of error as well. And while the Christian is a person whose belief, whose trust is in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ and in that alone for his eternal welfare, a man who truly knows that he's born again, or a woman that's truly born again of the Spirit of God, there's things they'll do and there's things they'll not do. And it is important how we live our life. And the blessing of God comes upon those who live their lives aright. And so we want to see how this man, this blessed man, lives so that he can be rich in the benefits of God's grace. You see, the first verse tells us about the things that he doesn't do. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, who's the ungodly? And sometimes we think of the ungodly as the drunkard. Coming through the town yesterday evening, and just at the lights there at the North Road, saw a poor fella coming along the footpath, and he was feeling the walls as he walked. Totally unstable, totally out of his mind with drink. And to try and steady himself, he was holding on to the wall. And some people will look at that man and say, that's an ungodly man. And that may very well be the case. You look at the people who can spend their time in all sorts of evil, and you look at them and you say they're ungodly. That's right. But you know there's ungodly people in here this morning. Because an ungodly man or an ungodly woman as someone who doesn't know God. It's as simple as that. Someone who has no personal experiential knowledge of God as Savior and Lord. And such a one as an ungodly person. So if you're not saved this morning and here, now if you have no knowledge of God or the things of God, if you don't know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior, if there's never been that time in your experience when you repented of sin and sought Christ and laid your eternal hope upon him, if that's your condition this morning, then you're ungodly. It says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, there's a progression here. From walking in the counsel. You see, that's taking the advice. That's taking the advice of the ungodly. That's listening to the ungodly way of thinking. That's just doing what the ungodly do, thinking how the ungodly think. And you know, whenever you start thinking like that, it's not very long until you're committing the sin, and therefore you're standing in the way of the sinner. And you're not very long at the actual practice of sin until you're seated securely and contentedly in the seat of the scornful. Those who have no time for God or the things of God. You just keep going down. And dear child of God, if you want to know the blessing of God, then, like this man, you neither listen to the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. You see, there's a wee verse in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a great psalm of the book. And in Psalm 119, in verse 24, it says this. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And you see, the blessed man gets his counsel from the Word of God. Some people say it's hard to know what's right and what's wrong. And I can't remember who I was reading, but they made a very clear statement. They said it's not hard to know what's right and wrong. If you don't know whether it's right or wrong, it's probably wrong. Because it's not hard to know what's right if it agrees with the book. And you say, well, that's getting very tight now. There's things happening all around us. And, you know, the Bible doesn't cover every circumstance. The Bible covers every circumstance. Every problem in life that you'll come across. Every question that you have as a believer. The Word of God has the answer. But you know why you can't find the answer? Because you don't know the book. And here's a man. And he knows the blessing of God upon his life because he's a separated man. He's separated from that which is wrong. He has stepped away from the counsel of the ungodly and the ways of the sinner. And he has no time for communion with those who are scornful. There's a story in the scriptures when you go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 8. And it's a part of the time of the story whenever Moses is trying, with God's help, he's bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt. And you know how that Pharaoh refused to let them go, and there was plague sent, and every time after a plague, Pharaoh would call for Moses, and Moses would come, and he would say to Moses, now this or that, and he would promise at times to let them go, then he would change his mind. But in Romans chapter 8, he calls for Moses and he says, I will let you go to sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Now, that was a trick, you see. He wanted them to go into the wilderness. That would keep them happy. They'd be going there to sacrifice to their God. But he could get them back again because they weren't going very far away. You know, that reminds me very much on the counsel of the ungodly. Look at it this way. The devil knows his bait. He knows he's defeated because the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16 says that the church will be built. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now the devil knows that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be built, and every brick will be in place ere he comes again. And when the last brick is put in place, the Lord will return. But I tell you this, the church will be built and the devil knows it. But his great strategy today, and has been down through the ages, has been to confuse the church of Jesus Christ, to make it weak and powerless. And I believe that the way he does that today is this. When you get saved, you know what he says to you? It's all right. And this is what the world says. Have your religion if you want it. Be a Christian if you want. But don't be too strict. Don't be extreme. It's all right. You can be saved and you can have your church services. Don't be too different. No need to be too holy. Don't act differently. Don't dress differently. Don't think differently. Don't be separated too much from those around you, because you'll only put them off. And the Church of Jesus Christ today has swallowed the lie. And in the churches today, you have all sorts of worldliness creeping in. And the aim in their mind is to attract the world. It's a lie of the devil. And I wonder, I'm surprised that for over three generations or four generations now, the Church of Jesus Christ has been watering everything down. And they've been making every type of accommodation. And if you ask them why this is done, why is that? It's to attract people in. It's to bring in the people. It's to bring in the unsaved. Let's have entertainment. Let's entertain them. They'll come in to the service if there's entertainment of some description. And so you get the churches today, they're full of all sorts of things. Come and have your breakfast before the service. Come and in the service we'll have flashing lights. We'll have bands in the corner. We'll not have a pulpit anymore, because it's too much like a church. We'll have a platform. Throw in 10 minutes at the end of the Word of God. And that's what you're getting in many places. Sermonettes. Noise. Music. And they want to attract the people. Well, why? Why is it not working? Well, there's two reasons, I think. First of all, it's not God's way. God says that in the assembly of his people, everything's to be done decently and in order. He says, when you come before me, you come with reverence. I'm a holy God. You come with holiness. You come with respect. You come with holy fear into the presence of God. You know what annoys me? The noise in the assembly some mornings before the meeting. God doesn't come into the meeting when the pastor walks onto the platform. When you come into the house of God, you're coming into the presence of God. And when we learn that, then the power and the presence of God will come down. The other thing why it's not bringing in the people is this. We don't bring in the people. The Spirit of God draws the people. The Spirit of God will draw the man or woman that's unsaved into a gospel meeting where he's going to be present to bless, and where that assembly of God's people is in a position for him to come down amongst us and bless us. We turn over, it's a portion of scripture that we have long since forgotten. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And of what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, and that's the church, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Separation. Separation. The blessed man's a separated man. He's separated from the things of the world, from the ways of the world, from the thinking of the world. And whenever the devil says, well, don't be too strict, don't be too tight, don't be too holy, that's a lie from the pit. And it's the devil's way. And I want to say this to the church of Jesus Christ here. Hold tight to the standards. See, there was a woman I was talking to at her brother Joe's funeral. And I invited her along to the meetings. She doesn't go to church. But she said she had enjoyed Joe's service here, the service for Joe, and I was talking to her. And I says, well, no, you're very welcome to come at any time. I says, come and join us. Come to the meetings, I says, if you enjoyed the meeting. Oh, no, she says, you're far too middle class. She says, you all wear hats. The women all wear hats. Well, I says, that's got nothing to do with class. But you see, that's what she had. And the church, you see, that it's great to see the church wear ladies with the hats on. Why? Not because it's our custom here, as I sometimes said from this platform, and I disagree with it entirely. It's not the custom here. If it was only the custom of Bali, we'd be far better without them. It's not the custom. It's an obedience to the Word of God. And the woman that don't wear hats in other churches, they say, oh, well, that's only, it was a custom of its time. Whenever you can find me a verse in the Bible that says you don't wear hats, then stop wearing hats. We're to love not the world, 1 John says, chapter 2. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. And if you're going to be a blessed man or woman, then you'll have to be separated. But not only is he a separated man, he's a sanctified man. See, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Is a man of the book or a woman of the book? You see this here. That's someone prayed in a prayer meeting this morning. That's more than a book. It is. You can get millions of books. But this here is a guide for life. It's the way to heaven. And it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119 again. Now, Psalm 119 is 176 verses. 22 different sections, 8 verses in each section. And in only 2 of the verses, in those 176, is the word of God not referred to in some way or other. And if you look at it, it says in verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with his whole heart. Verse 3, and they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. His ways, that refers to his word again. His testimonies, that's his word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. That's another word for the word of God. I will not forget thy word. Verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's the word. If we want to know the blessing of God, not must we only be separated from, but we must be sanctified, set apart, made holy, and it's through the word. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was praying in that lovely prayer in John chapter 17, when he was praying for his disciples, and he says, I pray not for these only, but for them also which thou shalt give me. So he's praying for the church of Jesus Christ. And in the 17th verse of the 17th chapter, he says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the word of God, there is never a moment wasted when it's spent in the word of God. Spurgeon said on one occasion, he said, he was talking to a dear brother who said, I have read the scriptures 20 times on my knees and I cannot find the teaching of election. And Spurgeon said, if you had read the book sitting in a comfortable chair, it might have come to you a lot more easily. You don't have to read the book on your knees, but you have to read the book. Time spent in the word of God. This man says, that it says of this man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's his chief delight. What's your chief delight, brother and sister, in life? What is it that makes you happy? Is it the things of God? Or is it the things of the world? We test, and I'm testing myself here in this one. I'm not coming out too rosy. But here's a test, and the Lord spoke to me and he says this. How many hours a week do you spend watching television? How many hours in the week do you spend reading the Word? How many hours in the week do you spend on all the gadgets, computers, phones that is nowadays and all these things? How long do you spend on them in the week? How long do you spend in the Word and in prayer? Now, when you answer that honestly, it tells you where your delight is. Listening to two sisters speaking one day to each other down here, no, I overheard them. But I did. And one was bemoaning to the other because she had missed so many episodes of one of the soaps. And she was going to have to watch them on some of them playback things. A I always say, if you eat too much soap, you'll be sick. And that's an actual fact. You try eating a bar of soap and see how long it is before you're, well, we'll look any further. And if you watch too much of that old soap and that stuff type of thing on the television, it'll be no time, my dear brother and sister, till you're as sick as a dog spiritually. The blessed person, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's always before him. It's always in the forefront of his mind. It's all right. He'll have a job to do. He'll have a family to run. She'll have to keep the house. These things have to be done. But when you know the book, it's in there. And it's at the forefront of your mind. And no matter what you're employed in during the day, you can meditate upon the Word of God. Whenever you read the Word of God each day before you start the day, take a verse or two from it just. Just get it into your head, the thoughts, and meditate upon it. Whenever you're reading at night, before you lay yourself down to sleep, and you come to the end of the day to speak to the Lord, and you take His Word and let Him speak to you. You see, when you're waking in the middle of the night and you can't get to sleep, get a wee word or two out of the Scriptures. Meditate upon, think upon. That's the same word here as what you'd use for chewing the cud. Roll it over. Keep thinking. You say, I'm not a preacher. I can't think on these things. You can think on them, surely. How hard is it to think on a verse like, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? Start and think of the depth of it. Brings joy to your heart. And that's the blessed man. I must rush on. He's a separated man, separated from the world and the things of the world. He's a sanctified man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And here's another wee thing just before I leave it. You say I'm a grumpy old elder, but so I am. But here's something, dear friend. Never stop carrying your Bible. Oh, if there's one thing I hate, is to see folk reading the Bible from a tablet or a phone in the house of God. No way. You see in that tablet, you see in that phone, the amount of filth and rubbish that's available. All right, you're not looking at it. It's not there. But here in this book, it's the pure Word of God. And never be ashamed to come in or to walk the streets as you go to church, or as you walk out in front of the neighbours. Never be afraid, dear child of God, to carry your book. And young person, the same applies to you. I know these things are cool. I know these things are what is today's the modern thing. But me, I'm old-fashioned. Stick to the book. Now, I know that when we talk about the book, as we were talking about it earlier, it was the words that are in the book that we were referring to. But also, I like the feel of a good Bible, like that there. Carry the book when you come to the house of God. Lastly, he's not only a separated man, a sanctified man, but he's a successful man. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He shall be like a tree planted. That's nice. He's planted. You know out there, if you're a gardener, or maybe if even you're a gardener, even you look at a garden, you know the difference between something that's planted and something that's green naturally. Something that's planted, the gardener has seen the spot where he wants it. He knows the plant he wants. Well, sometimes he has to change it, at least if you know in the natural sense, but for spiritually speaking here, it's different. He knows where he wants to plant it. He knows what he wants to plant, and he plants it well. It's put in the right spot. And it says here he's like a tree that's planted. Now, a tree that grows wild grows anywhere. Be growing up the top of a ditch and it'll grow and it'll wither after a while. It could be growing in completely the wrong place. It's not planted. There's no planning. I'm not going to get into God's great election, but it's here. The tree's planted. God's the husbandman, he says. The trees are planted. Not only is he planted, but the tree's pruned. John chapter 15. We haven't time, but just to refer to it, John chapter 15. Ye are the vine, I am the branches. You know that. Then he says, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Another, he prunes it. And there's many prunings. You know, that's how you keep a plant going well. Keep it pruned. Keep it cut. Keep it in shape. Prune the plant. It produces more. Let it grow wild and soon it's for nothing. Keep pruning the plant. God has to prune us at times. Sometimes it's a deep cut he has to make because there's something big there that's in the way. Sometimes it's just taking off the wee bits that needs to be touched. But that's how he keeps us fruitful. He prunes us. But he's productive. Brings forth his fruit in his season. See, the blessed man is always a blessing to others. And you know a man that's a blessed man or a woman that's a blessed woman. Whenever you meet them and you speak to them, my, they do something for you. You know that God's with them. You know the Spirit of God's in them. And when they speak to you, you go away feeling the better of it. There's some boys in the church that you meet, and when you go away, you feel the worse of it. They're not blessed people. A person is blessed whenever you come into their presence. You know it. It says he brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. He's evergreen. He's evergreen. And summer or winter, and good times or bad times, the man that's planted by the river, and that river speaks of water, and the water speaks of the word. You're back to the word again. And then whether it's summer or winter, his leaf will be green. His testimony will be bright. And even at the times of pruning, even at the times of distress and sorrow, the man or woman who is doing the blessing of God will still be productive in those times. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You ask some people what prosperity is, and they'll tell you it's making money. The business going well. That's prosperity in a sense. But what's a prosperous Christian? Prosperous Christian is one who is productive. Not getting. You see, we talk about prosperity down here. It's nearly always getting. You're doing things to get. You see, the man that's prosperous as a believer, he's given. He's giving. And he's giving again. He's just like his heavenly Father who giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's the blessed man. Separated man. Yeah. He's not taking the advice of the ungodly. He's not taking the advice of the unsaved. Whether it be his business, his family, or any other thing, he's not taking that. He's a separated man. He's a sanctified man. He's rooted and grounded in the Word. And he's a successful man because he's spiritually prosperous. And that's the blessed man may we in these days seek. to know the blessing of God. And may those around us call us blessed.